You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Hey, listeners, I'm Joe R. Lucas, and welcome back to The Crossover, the show that's been getting down and dirty all season long with the big stars from the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. But look out for special bonus episodes coming your way very soon as The Crossover is packing up and getting ready to go to the Final Four. There'll be exclusive player interviews plus big match analysis from some very special guests. That's all to come when we get to Victoria Gasteiz, but for right now, I hope you enjoy this great new episode. Welcome back to The Crossover. I'm your host, Joe R. Lucas, and in front of me is sitting one of the greatest basketball coaches in the world, a man that if I didn't know him, I didn't know if I'd be able to sit down and conduct this podcast because I'd be intimidated by his presence. But the great thing about this is I do know him, and if you're lucky enough to get to know this guy off the court, you realize, just like any of us, that he wakes up the same way, showers the same way, puts his clothes on the same way. The only difference is he's got 9 European championships to his name, and he's the most decorated European coach of all time. And he's only 58 years old. Zelimir Selko Obradovic, welcome to The Crossover, Coach. How are you, my man?
Thank you. Very good.
Very good. Only very good. That's it.
Very good.
The team's doing good, so you got to be good.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to start this conversation, but I'm going on like what I started with. Is I just think off the court, you're a whole different person than everybody sees you on the court because – you know, I invited you up a long time ago to go do a coaching clinic. Mm-hmm. And you showed up and you sat down at dinner with all these people that I told them not to bother you. And you answered every question and you talked to everybody. It's just amazing to see how you are off the court compared to on the court.
Yeah, but okay, you know, this is different. I tried to be like that from the first day that I started to be coach. I think nothing to do, you know, one thing with another thing. Court is that I need to be serious, that first of all the people that work with me, they need to understand that it's a very serious job, and we need to do like that. After that, out of the court is absolutely different, and I'm different. I understand this. Not so many people understand this because just probably closer people to me or friends or some people, they have opportunity to spend, let's say, some time with me out of the court.
Right. But people look at you as this basketball god, like you're so much bigger than everybody else. But you, it's not that you come down to anybody else's level. It's just that you become friendly with them right off the bat as soon as you get to know somebody. And I think that's what everybody appreciates about you, and it's something that you know my listeners will get to know about you now.
Yeah, Joe. Okay, this is let's say you know me. First of all, you know me. You
right.
know how I am. I'm a normal person. I'm really. Person that I like basketball, and I try to share everything that is basketball with anyone. So, you know, any young colleague for me is same like any of the colleagues that they are now in the EuroLeague or people from NBA, because I have contact with a lot of coaches. They're a legend
right.
over there, you know. For me, is opportunity in the life to talk to anyone who love basketball and to share the ideas that we have.
Let's start. You know, it's kind of a life story.
Uh-huh.
So your dad was mm-hmm. a very special person for you from what I've read. What did he show you? What kind of there's a story where he gave you a bicycle as a gift.
Yes.
That was one of your prized possessions.
Yeah, exactly. I will never forget this. It was the best present in my life, you know.
Why?
Because, you know, you are young and you have some kind of dream. And in this period, you know, small things, they're so important for you. And I always say that my father, it was best friend that I have in my life because, you know, he never, he understand everything that I'm doing. Also in the period that I was very young and, you know, you are ready and you're somehow stupid and you do some stupid things, but he always understand this. So he never say something bad to me or always try to share with me all the things. And the more important is this, that he teach me, you know, if you want people to respect you, you respect the people. This is the main thing, and I always keep this in my mind.
Looking back, well, I guess 45 years now from that bike, maybe a little bit more, 48 years. What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was ages about 16, something
16,
like that.
Okay,
yeah.
So even less.
Yeah.
What does that bike resemble in like your rise to your success? What do you think that bike meant to you? Because was it a way to get to practice every day? Was it a way to, you know?
No, it was something, you know, that you have like dream and you. I watched some friends that they have already bicycle, and you know I tried to go to practices with them because they put me like very young, 15, 16 years old, to be in the first team in my place in Borac
Čačak.
So For me, it was this bicycle to move more easy, to go to practice, don't to be late.
Most kids want to go out and party with their friends.
Yeah, okay.
You wanted to go to practice.
Yeah, yeah, go to practice, and, you know, it was the way to be everything more easy for me.
What about your mom? She was a big influence also on your basketball?
Yeah, okay. If you know, in this time it was, I remember how many times I bring everything after the practice, and she cared about everything, that it was my, you know, my shirts and everything. And this period, after some years, but this came really late, after like 6-7 years, I said to her, now you will stop, because in the team they will care about everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, something
But she probably didn't like that. She wanted to continue.
Yeah,
no, like
yeah,
most
okay,
moms.
But you know, mother is mother, always care about everything.
Exactly. So you play for Borac, right?
Yes, Borac. The name in city is Čačak.
6 years, that's where you were born and raised?
Yeah,
Was it basketball from day one, or did you play football, soccer?
Yeah, I play football. Let's say, you know, in this period you have some friends and you decide, okay, let's go to try this and that. I like also ping pong. I mean, table tennis, you know.
Yeah, you and I never played. We always said we were going to play again.
Yeah, okay. I play and I like very much, you know. Even now, sometimes I play with my son or some friends, you know, in my house. But normally it was basketball. I believe that I was like 3-4 practices in football, and immediately I change and I go to start, because it was period that, you know, 73, it was a European Championship in Barcelona, and one of the best players, it was a guy from our city, Dragan Kičanović, that after that,
mm-hmm.
it was my, let's say, vice president in Partizan. He bring me in Partizan, and it was person that he trust me, and he gave me opportunity to be coach. So very close person to me.
That was, first you went 6 years with your club, and then you went to Partizan as a star partner with coach Moka Slavic.
Slavic, yes. Yeah.
What was it like playing there for your first time? Like playing, obviously, I'm assuming from where you were from, Partizan was a dream to go.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay, I start like very young, from 15 years old. So 24, I go 84 exactly. I go to Belgrade Kičanović. It was vice president of Partizan, and Moka Slanić, one of the best point guards ever in ex Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And you know, if they call you to, let's say, legendary players, they call you. It was for me opportunity of the life, honestly. And in this period, it was not easy, so easy to change the club.
Right.
So, not was like contracts, like now you are free of contract.
Right,
like,
you have your
no, you need, okay. Yes, that federation decide if you give you permission to change the club or things
so,
like that.
Okay.
It was very tough, very tough. And I remember that in this meeting, my father came to, you know, to please the people, to give me this opportunity, and finally they decide, and I go to Partizan, and okay, you know, if you work with two people that was your idols, like young,
right.
You know, you watch them and say, hey, is this true that I'm over here? Honestly, it was like that.
You were on the Yugoslavian national team, of course.
Yes.
Just some of the names, Divac, Kukoc,
yeah, all of them, yes. Right? Paspal, Djordjevic,
nobody remembers Obradovic, really.
No, but, you know, Ivković, it was coach, and I started to play national team, let's say very late, 28 years old. I was older than everybody, but my connection with Ivković, it was in that way that he understand that I understand the game. So
right.
He always used me to talk with the young kids that they was in excellent level, you know, and there was really very good players, but sometimes they didn't understand a lot of tactical things in this period.
Right.
So it was my role, and over there, okay, I was, let's say, good defensive player. It was difficult to leave me to shot the ball because I have good shot. But you know, if you play with players that they have creation, all of them,
right.
Starting with Kukoč, Paspal, Divac, Branković, Rađa, Perasović, Komazec, Safte, Danilović, you know. It was easy, but for me, it was a period that I really improved a lot of things. First of all, because of quality of these players, and after that, working with Coach Ivković.
Is it easier as a point guard to play with guys like that, or is
of
it?
Of course.
You think it's easy because most people say you have to satisfy everybody.
It was big respect.
Yeah.
Big respect because you know I was like point guard, and I decide what to play and how to play, and they know if I decide something, we play. I don't know whatever now for Rađa. Ball must go to hands of Rađa, and this is it. And this, it was that Ivković insist, and he said to everybody, you know, that they must follow however my instruction in the court.
22 years old, I read that you started to write notes after every practice.
Yeah.
Or even probably even before earlier, that.
Even before that.
So you had already decided that you were going to be a coach.
Yeah, but it was, you know, in this period.
And you coach younger teams also, no? And
yes, close to my house, you know, in school.
Fortunately, unfortunately, I played for a Yugoslavian coach. How do you have time outside of practice to go coach a team? Don't you get sick of being
on the
court?
No, but it was very interesting because the guy that is not right now in Fenerbahce, my assistant coach, Vlade Andrović, he's my best friend, you know, we have family relation and everything. He also doing something like that. He's 3 years older than me, and he doing this in his school. So
right.
I start to talk to him, and it was idea, and I go over there, and I ask kids if you want to do, you know, and it was really nice for me, you know, to have experience to work with young kids. It was really something special.
But was it just to work with them, or was it your idea that I'm going to be a coach someday, so I want to do it, or a little bit of both?
Honestly, you know, in this period, to think something like that, it was...
Players don't think that way.
Yeah, but of course, but you know, you play and you like basketball, so you want to see that side. If you understand something, if you help, you know, because the thing is that you start to work with kids and you understand the progress of their game or everything very quickly, and this, you know, make you proud. So I try to do this, and this also helped me a lot after that I really start to think to be coach and. To start to work like coach.
Is it true you're down to sometimes one practice a day now?
Yeah. Yes. This is true.
Well, I was born at the wrong time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, of course. This is your problem. No, but if you go back, it's logical. You know, first of all, it was much more less games than now. You know, and
right.
I changed like 3 years ago, even in a preseason camp, just one practice. And the reaction, preseason camp also. And I keep this because it's very good. And even I change, you know, because I have some experience. You remember that I was in 2012. I watched the practices of Detroit Pistons.
That was the year
preseason
that you
camp,
took.
Yes. And they understand that they're their way. And I talk a lot with Joe Dumars and all the people over there. And I say, okay, I would like to try this. So basically now we have practice, let's say, around 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. And we do it everything. Little bit more, let's say...
More time,
but not so much. So much. 2 hours, 2 hours and a half. And they go home and they're coming back next day and they're very fresh. They're, you know, fresh mind, fresh even body. So it's good. And now, during the season, it's very, very difficult. We don't have time for that. So one practice and this is it.
Interesting. I'm going to get on something maybe a little bit more difficult that happened to you, a car accident. You obviously, at one point or another, you traded the bike in for a car, and you had a difficult moment. How did something like that affect, because you were playing at the time, you were playing at a pretty good level.
Yeah.
How does that affect somebody
It was very tough, you know. It was a difficult moment in my life, but, you know, like always, you have family and you have... friends, because this that happened, it was in my city, Čačak, that everybody, we knows everybody. So people knows me and people knows that how happened. And, you know, if you are someone who is, let's say, a player, immediately starts a lot of different stories about that.
Of course.
The story, it was that, you know, I paid the price for that. And after that, after some years, they understand what really happened. But this is the past, you know. I passed really very, very tough and very difficult period. But okay, it was life, you know.
Most difficult time of your life?
Probably. And the day that I lost my father, for sure.
Of course, yeah. And what the time that you spent, the 2 years in jail, what does it do for you, like as a coach, as a person? I mean, do you have time to reflect on everything and either want to be better, change?
No, I was 8 months only.
8 months?
Yeah, 8 months. And I told you, because after that, they opened the case again and they understand that it not was, let's say, only that I make something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't matter. What? 8 months, you know, you try to talk with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And... I was in the part that it was possible for me also to have some kind of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I work like crazy. I work like crazy. I have guys over there that they push me, you know. I joke with them. And, you know, you have people that they accidentally happened in our life, like happened to me.
Right.
car accident, you know. This is how it is. So you try to live with these people, to talk with them, and it was great experience for me at the end of the day. You know, make me more strong in any sense.
I think that's one thing I've noticed about doing all these podcasts and these interviews, that all of these successful people have taken a bad moment in your life and made it into a positive. Where it's very easy to make a bad moment and continue it to be a bad moment afterwards. But everybody that I've talked to has made a bad moment in your life and made it into something that's going to make me a better person in the future. And I think that's what you did in this.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. This is definitely, it was like that, you know.
One of the things that you told me the first day you showed up in Madrid, you told the team, and I didn't like it when you first said it, but I live by it now. You said that if you want to taste the sweetness of success, you have to suffer along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But this is life, Joe. You know that this is life. It's not easy, you know, to be everything the way how you like to be is impossible. So you need to understand to suffer and to be where you want to be. Without this is very difficult. All of us we want and we like nice life, you know, to smile all the day and everything. But life is a little bit different.
Yeah,
and this is that, you know, you I come back to this that you say I'm different in the court and out of the court. I try to be really very happy person outside because I have a lot of friends that I share incredible good moments with my friends. And this is life. I like to do this. And sometimes I say to my players, guys, I'm really sorry that sometimes I need to react how I react. Right. But if I don't react, this will be disaster for everybody of us. This is how it is, you know.
You know, I always tell when I commentate in the game, I have this later on, but I'll say it now. When I commentate in the game, I always say that I was happy that I played when there was, like, less rotation, when there was only, you know, 7 or 8 players.
Yeah.
Because the people who are on your bench get yelled at more than the people that are on the court sometimes.
Yeah, okay, but you know why is that. You know, they need to be ready and they understand everybody, you know, why I talk like that.
So you're on your way to play in Eurobasket 91, right before you go to, you're in Belgrade, and you get a phone call from the people from Partizan.
Yes.
And they tell you.
Exactly.
You're the captain of the team.
I was captain of the national team of Yugoslavia because European Championship in Italy, in Roma. And we just came one night to be in Belgrade after 1 week of preparation, and it was supposed to go to Germany, I believe Hamburg, to play friendly games. Then Kičanović and the president of Partizan, they call me and they offer to me to be coach. And I say, okay, leave me these 20 days and after that I will really like. They say, no, you need to decide now, tomorrow to start to work or, you know, or we will go to another person. And okay, I say, okay, I will be coach. And
you leave the team?
Yeah, I leave the team because next morning I go to airport and they explain to Ivković. I try to explain, however, but I was afraid, honestly, you know, what he will say. And, it's not correct, you know, but it was my inside of me. I understand this is a great opportunity. You know, Partizan is my club forever. And funny thing is, it was after that I go home and I say to my wife, I stop to be player, I will be coach. And look at me, she look at me like, oh, another night, you know, that you take something.
Another whiskey, yeah. Too much whiskey.
So nobody in this moment believed that it was a good decision, believe me, except the guys that I work in, Partizan Kičanović, vice president, and my best friend in that time that he started to be sport director, Milenko Savović, that we played a lot of years together.
Right.
So support, it was just from there. Everybody, you know, somehow they say, okay, are you sure? You have a lot of years in front of you to play basketball. It was correct, you know. In this period, I have offered to go outside for correct money, very correct money in this period, you know, and everything. But somehow I take the risk and, okay, now we are over here.
Yeah, and here we are. And they put you together with a 67-year-old professor, no?
Alexander Nikolic, okay. Yeah, I worked with him. I worked with him before.
Wait,
also,
31 years old, you're with a 67-year-old guy. That's kind of like, it seems difficult.
Situation. Everybody talking this moment, you know, how is possible that one serious club like Partizan with history put the guy just that he finished to be player and he want to be coach and things like that. But, you know, I understand that I'm ready. And the first step that I try to do is this, to convince my professor, because I worked with him before in Bora Čačak some years, to come and to help me. And okay, somehow, you know, he started to think, and one day he coming to practice And during the practice, he jumped from, you know, outside. He called me Žele, nickname. Sure. Žele, Žele, may I say something? And this, it was the best moment for me. I understand that he will come inside. And okay, after that, I spent with him, you know, all days. Because even I know, because I follow, he was professor in university. Many times I go to classes of him. Mm-hmm. And he was surprised, like, what are you doing over here? So I come to improve everything, you know. And this, it was crucial for me, for sure.
You ruined my philosophy in the basketball life that a player cannot walk off the court and become a good coach right away. It's I always thought that it's impossible because you have to take off the basketball sneakers, yeah, and put on the coaching sneakers, and it's a big transition, a difficult transition, yeah, mentally more than anything. But how do you sit down and yell at guys that you were just about to play with on the national team and you've been playing with?
Yeah.
Because you were crazy at 31.
I say that this will be my advantage because they know me. They know my character and I was older than any one of them. So people thinking maybe different, how will be this, you know, relationship with players. And I said, no, this will be very easy for me. And it was like that. My biggest problem is that I start to be coach and I didn't sleep. I always say this. First 2 months, I think about every small details. My problem, it was I go to practice, and we make one simple drill, one simple exercise. And what will be question of the players? If I'm not ready, if I don't have answer,
it
will be very difficult for me. They will not trust me anymore. Right. So I try to prepare myself. Now, you know, after 27, 8 years, I go to practice, and you know how our players, they always like to ask sometimes good questions, sometimes stupid, but no situation now for me that I'm not ready.
That you're not ready for.
So, but in this time, it was very, very important for me to prepare myself.
That was the most difficult thing for you. You were concerned that a player would look at you like, yeah, he doesn't even know what he's talking about because he can't answer my question. That was
difficult. But they understand. They understand because I prepare myself. And the help of professor, it was very important. You know, I say to players, listen, sometimes maybe you will be angry with me and I don't have problem. Mm-hmm. This part of the job, whatever. You know, we need to watch each other directly in the eyes, to talk like men. But I don't want to see any one of you that you complain anything to professor. Mm-hmm. Or if he says something, you know, to have any bad face to him or something like that. And it was like that, you know. And I'm very happy because all these people from Partizan, if I start now to talk, because I remember, of course, all of them, they was very successful like players and they continue to be successful in the life.
Right.
And this is something that make me really proud. Not just basketball.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
because basketball ends early.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, you know how is that.
And this, the year was amazing. You win the Triple Crown your first year, yeah, coaching. And then you, come on, that's not normal. You know,
no,
that's not
normal. No, of course
that
is not normal, I know. No, but I remember very well, you know, in Istanbul that we beat Juventud and Professor Nikolic coming in the court and he said to me, Žele, congratulations and I wish you a lot of good results like that. And I look at him and I say, about what he talk? This is now and never more. This it was my feeling, honestly.
May never happen again.
Yeah, how to think something like that, you know. But he said, no, I wish you and you will see things like that, you know. And I always remember that, so.
That was a crazy time because that was when the 3-game playoff, you guys played against Bologna, I,
yes,
believe, right? And it was, you played the first game at home and then, yeah, you had to go play 2 games,
yes,
at,
yeah,
the
it was 2-0, you know, to go to Final Four, best of three. And the rule, it was like that. First of all, this year we play everything outside. We play in Fuenlabrada,
right,
you know the story and everything. Only one game we play in Belgrade. We beat Kinder Detetor, it was coach, 13 points, something like that. And after that, I have bet with my ex-teammates from national team, Jurez Dovc. He play in Kinder, and you know, we make bet who will go to Final Four, one dinner, and he score incredible shot in second game.
That was the 1-point game you lost.
So 1-1, yeah, but finally we beat them, and we go to Final Four. And Jure paid to me this dinner after maybe some 10, 12, I don't know, in Ljubljana one time we meet and say, Ide, finally, let's go. You need to pay
you dinner.
So. you need to pay me dinner. So.
And nice then, story. Of course, the 3-pointer by Sasha.
So, yeah, okay. But
it's Danilovic that was the...
Yeah, both of them. Okay, yeah. They was key players, you know. They was players, you know. If you have team like it was Partizan, you play aggressive, full-court pressing, you need that you don't have enough quality But you have two players that they dominate, both of them,
right.
Position one and position two. So if you go back, there was players they always score about 20 points. Rest, more or less, we play 80 points. So you play strong defense and you know quality that you have in your team. Mm-hmm. And this it was, you know, how we play. After that, I will remember always that this team Partizan from 12 players, 7 of them never play any game outside of the country. This is the first year.
That was the first year.
So, you know, average of the age of this team, it was 21.7.
It's still the youngest team.
Less than 22 years. Yeah. Average. So, you know.
The youngest team never win a year.
The youngest team ever. So, it was different time and everything, but, you know, we worked like crazy, honestly. And it was difficult moments
during
the season.
But can you believe it when it was over? Like, you just got done saying, you said, I don't think this will ever happen to me again.
Yeah, no, without any question, you know. It was this, and we always talk, we go game by game. We beat Milano, let's say, 2 times in the regular season. And we go to Final Four, and I have information from Italy, France, and Gazzetta dello Sport. They talk that they're great favorite against us in semifinal. Say, this is the best for us. Darrell Dawkins, you remember?
Yes.
It was okay, we trap. How to play defense against him if you don't trap?
Yeah.
1-to-1 with young Rebrača, that it was 40 kilos less than Darrell. Stevanović, Kobe, you know, you try to do some things, and we play team defense, and we use the quality of especially Danilović and Đorđević offensively.
After that, you leave Partizan after another year. Partizan. Anything with the war have to do with that? The fact that the sanctions were being set?
No,
just an opportunity you had to leave.
It was after first year. They coming a lot of teams from Europe, you know, to call me to go out, but I decided to stay one more year in Partizan because of Professor Nikolic. I said, this is more important for me to improve, to be with this professor one more year, and I believe that it was an excellent decision. Happened that started all the problems in ex-Yugoslavia. After first year, you know, we have some bonuses for European title, for league title, for cup and everything. And I say, no, pay first players and play my assistant and will be time for me. Mm-hmm. This time never come. So I don't take one dinar, how is in my country, or euro, or whatever. And second year, all year, no 1 euro. I work free.
For two years?
No, second year.
Second year.
So after second year, coming offer from Juventus, then I go to talk with Kičanović. And he make me simple question. He say, how much money you take this year? I say, 0. And he say, and you will live from what? From where? Mm. What will eat your family? So you need to go, he said to me. I was ready to stay, you know, but he said, no, you need to go. Because we don't have money, we don't have, you know. This story it was.
And I don't want to talk too much about Barcelona because you beat a team that I played for along the way. I didn't like you
so
before
you
that.
Very well then.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, when I was doing my research and I had to go back, and so everybody knows that the Zelko and Barcelona beat Real Madrid. You guys beat us. I didn't know that you beat us by 19 in the first game. Do you have this kind of recollection or no?
No, I remember that we play incredible good defense against Sabonis.
The 1-3-1 you guys played.
I believe that Saba scored, if I remember, maybe 2 or 4 points just in this game, and something like maybe 2 rebounds. Mm-hmm. So this it was impossible to do, you know, with Sabonis.
Right.
You remember how Saba, after that we worked together and everything. So this it was incredible result for us, and we go with idea, you know, to try to play same kind of game in Madrid. Of course it was different, but finally 2-0 for us.
Thanks. I remember. Thanks for reminding me. It was crazy because there was one point, I think, the last game of the season, we played you, the regular season, and you guys were in like a 3 or 4 way tie, and if we beat you that game, we would have probably eliminated you from the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you beat us, and then you came back to play us again, and you beat us again. It was like not very fun for us, I can tell you that. So now you're developing a reputation as a good coach. Now you've won two championships in a row. Corny Thompson is the guy who hits the 3 for you now, but not the same as Sasha's 3, but it was 18 seconds.
No, it was different. Also, Jordi Villacampa scored before 1 3-point shot. The more important is that I believe that Olympiacos in final game last, if I remember good, last 7 minutes, they didn't score anything.
And Paspov missed the two
free throws. Yeah, but he missed two free throws. And, you know, one more time, thanks to our good defense, we coming to this point, you know. And I remember also semifinal, we play against Barcelona. We prepared because in one moment that we was really very ready for that, they start to play zone. So we killed them. Three-point shot, you know, we moved
they're
the ball good.
And they,
yes,
yeah.
Rafa Villacampa, Tomas Ofresa, all these people. Of course, the player who was over there, let's say, the more important, it was Corny Thompson. Mind for basketball, you know.
He was incredible.
He was coach. And this that I learned also, you know. Every year you have possibility to learn. Players decide everything. But
right.
You, like coach, you need to understand who is your leader.
Right.
You can put the finger on someone and say you're a leader. No. Leader is, you know, someone who understands. And Corny Thompson, it was like that.
Yeah,
you just one time explain to him and he catch everything and, you know.
He had a very high basketball
yeah,
IQ because
yeah,
physically
yeah,
he was
exactly,
not obviously
exactly,
the best
exactly,
athlete around. But he was. So number three comes now is more special for me, obviously, because we win it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to talk about a couple things that happened during that year. The first thing was, I don't know if you remember this or not, and I'll always remember this, and it was right in the beginning of the season, we weren't playing so well, and the president, who was then Mendoza, called us, stopped the practice,
yeah.
And called us to the stadium for a team meeting at 11 o'clock. He shows up late. He shows up at like 11:15, and when he begins to talk, I remember you stood up and you said, wait, Mr. President, first thing. He's like, never take one of my practices away from me again.
Exactly.
And number two is like, if you call my players here at 11 o'clock, you better be here 15 minutes beforehand and don't show up late. And that's when Selko, I looked, I said, I love this guy. You know, because I never felt like as a coach, you always had my back.
Yeah, but Joe, this is that we talked before, respect, you know. They called me the night before that and they said we need to go to Bernabeu because President Fonte said, okay, this is logical, but we have practice. And if you remember, I talk about this. Next time, give me 24 hours to prepare, to change the time of practice, because for us,
right. Practice
is everything. And if you remember, after that, Mendoza said directly, now you have directly connection with me.
Right.
So somehow we coming to this point that, you know, they respect us and everything. After that, it was easy for me. And if it was easy for me, it was easy more for you, for the players.
Yeah, because you won respect of the players also.
Everybody looked
like, I can't believe he's saying that.
Yeah.
I look like, that's my man.
Okay, but this is the only way, you know. That way you respect yourself.
And
if you don't respect yourself, nobody will respect
you. Of course. One thing that we always talk about, I laugh at, is the day of the Final Four, the day in Zaragoza, when you took us out like 45 minutes from Zaragoza to eat lunch, and we came back, and we didn't have no siesta, no nap.
It was enough siesta. It was enough siesta.
But
only
you and I started.
Problem, you know, because I want to take you out a little bit to be more relaxed and to don't think so much. Because if you remember Zaragoza, it was this period that that lot of people inside, and I don't know how procession, no?
Yeah,
procession. I want to go a little bit because of this. And I believe always is this, you know, something that help players to have better concentration. If you remember, we play Limoges and we play Olympiacos. But going back, never is any game in Final Four easy. But
no,
if you go back, it was easy. We dominate both games.
We did.
You know, it's...
Looking back, it's easy.
And more or less this that I talk about Partizan, you remember you and Sabonis and the rest of the players, they were skill players.
Right.
But they understand very well their position and they help. And if you remember all the balls and everything, strategically it was for you and for
right.
Sabonis.
Right.
So, you know.
We don't want to talk about final. I don't want to talk about the Final Four in Paris, but I have to. I have to, unfortunately, because it was your first one that you lost.
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, you got so many of these that I got to get through them quickly because I don't want to take up all your time. But I mean, that was the first one you actually showed up, and you lost. And we were winning by 17 in that first
20,
half.
20. In
we
one
were
moment,
by 20.
It was 20. Yes, he's against Barcelona. But you remember Sabonis decided to go in NBA, and we changed the team. And everybody,
right.
It was like question why you changed so many players And I say, we changed the best player, so we need different kind of team. If you remember, we signed Zoran Savic, and with you and him, it was different. Season before, everybody complained that we play slow, blah, 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 and we started the league. Eight first game, our average, it was more than 106 points per game.
Right.
I don't remember. So because of you and Zoran, that you have quality to run the court and all the perimeter player and everything. So we changed the game, and we play very good. Happened that in this time, I remember very well all the substitution that I tried to do, somehow with problems of foul, and they coming back. Barcelona, it was excellent team this year.
Yeah, very good.
Excellent, team. Very good team. So it not was real that we lead so easy 20 points.
Right.
But however, you know, if you lead the 20 points and you come back to that to lose the game,
you deserve to lose.
Of course. So part of the game.
Yeah, that was by far one of the most difficult games ever. Mm-hmm. I think you and I had a crazy relationship because you are a man of incredible character, and I think as a player I was the same way.
Sometimes, of course.
Stupid character, but we had like a love-hate relationship.
Of course, no, but this is that I try to do right now also. You know, I have some players and they know that I'm angry, but at the end of the day they understand that I'm behind them, and the only that I want is to help. You know, this is with all the players that I have, and I like the player who have like you, like let's say now Gigi Datome or Epke Udoh 2 years ago. You know that many times we have, you know, we have this discussion. But right. I like this because you show me that you like and that you want the best for you.
Yeah.
I don't like player if I say and you say to me yes.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. I don't like this. So talk to me. Talk to me to see, and believe me. With the experience that I have, I always watch the players and I want to take something for them and say, you make the best move. You give me idea. Honestly, it's like that. So, you know, it's only way, I believe, to be directly and to be honest.
I remember the one time you kicked me out of practice.
Okay. And then, you're not only one. So.
And then you told me, it's like, you got me so upset. You met me outside. As a matter of fact, we met for a drink afterwards.
Yeah,
you made me go to meet you for a
this
drink.
This is the way, also.
And you said, hey, I had to do that to get everybody's attention. And I said, coach, I said, you could have told me beforehand instead of getting me angry. And you said, if I told you beforehand, it would have never gotten everybody's attention. So
exactly.
I had to kick you out.
Exactly.
Anyways, I talk about me for a little bit because that's why it's my name's on this show. Okay. So it's not me. So, now, Italy, you go to Italy. It's the only country you haven't won a title yet.
Yeah, but we play also.
You got the Final Four. You lost in the Final Four.
Yes, we lost Final Four. You know, the story is next. Everybody remember, let's say, last shots like Sasha Djordjevic, and you mentioned before Corny Thompson. And everything. Nobody remember this playoff in Barcelona. It was we play against AEK, and I remember ball side of bounce for them, 2 points for us, and we have 2 more fouls to give. And I say, don't leave them to shot the ball.
Right.
Not to score. Don't leave them to shot the ball. So we use the foul. Happened that they tried to pass the ball to one of the best players in this period, in AEK, Bane Prelević. And my player, it was, if I remember, Henry Williams and Glenn Segunda go to steal the ball. And how he go to steal the ball, he don't have possibility to make the foul. Bane scored 3-point shot. So 1 point for them. Different game immediately.
Right,
we have after that position, if I remember, Rebrača missed that it was, you know, normal to pass the ball to him. So what I want to say, everybody remember, you know, good shots,
of course.
Nobody remember good shots of opponent team.
Right, of course.
This is part of basketball.
Or
you know,
don't see that little, like you always told us, the little details that make a
details,
difference in
of
the
course,
game. He doesn't
know,
get out of position.
You come into
shoot.
Exactly. But you come into that, you watch all the big games that decide. One ball, one free throw, one turnover, one bad shot, one steal, one. You need to be ready. Like coach, I never talk about this. Last position, last offense, last defense. I believe we have 39 minutes, 50 seconds to decide the game, you know.
There's 60 possessions.
But the game is like that. You need to be prepared. And this is that I like also now to take time out and to show last offense or last defense.
Right.
Or, you know, I have discussion many times. Free throw situation. You know, I'm very happy.
I remember this.
No, I am very happy that, let's say, one of my players, Vesely, this year shot excellent free throw.
It's incredible.
You remember 2 years ago?
Perfect.
So
I talk about it all the time.
And behind this is hard work. Okay. You coming to a point, let's say, that you lead one point and you have one more free throw. and is less than 2 seconds or 2 seconds, and you want to miss the shot. This is also practice.
Of course, yeah.
How to shot to miss.
How to miss, yeah. How to miss.
But a lot of people don't understand. I practice this with my players.
Right.
Believe me.
Right.
I don't want to go and say, just missed. No, no, it's not easy, yeah. How difficult to score is also difficult to miss the shot.
I did this with you when we played Barcelona in the Copa del Rey, in the King's Cup. Remember, I threw one off the front of the rim. It came back to me, and
so
I tapped it.
So you know about what
we
I thought.
We always practiced
all
that.
The situation, all that is basketball, you need to work on that. Special situation, how we call everything. Everything. If you go through the practice to this situation, more easy in the game.
Yeah. I remember our practices were always situational practice. 3 minutes, you're down six.
Yes,
you put yourself in a situation. Now let's go to Greece, because Greece was 11 Greek championships, 7 Greek Cup championships, 5 more Euro leagues. You made a historic team. You made a team with a lot of history, historic in a very short period of time. I mean, they're the team of the century right now in the EuroLeague. It's early, obviously. It's early in the century, but those years just had to be. I mean, you had great players, but it's an amazing run in Panathinaikos.
Yeah, everything was like that. Honestly, Panathinaikos is a special club, special, you know, team. It was special people over there. Fortunately, Mr. Pavlos passed away. Also, Kostas and Thanasis is now in a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. They treat me like son.
Right.
You know, it's difficult to understand that you have people with this age, and they coming like 3-4 times every week in the night in the practice. They come in, they say, "Coach, everything okay? You need something?" They go to players, they go all the people around the team, and always they show the love, and they love Panathinaikos like crazy. So, you know, if you understand this energy that they have, the 80 years old people, you know, you ask yourself, so what? I will not have energy. I will not do it. Everything that is, you know, it was like that. Plus, you know, fans and everything. And
it's an amazing place.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. And you know, for me, Athens and everything is like my. If I go to my home city, Čačak or Belgrade, you know, that I like more than everything. So, it was incredible. And as you said, you know, different generation of the players. First, it was with Bodiroga, Rebrač, Alvertis, Kutlai, and after they coming another, you know. Diamantidis, first of all, and all the rest, Greek guys that they fought, Sarsaris, Hadjivretas, you know, one period also Spanoulis. So it was something special, special in really special in everything.
Yeah, I have a little something about Vasilis, because I talked to him not too long ago a little bit about you, and I said the same thing. I'll simply say the same thing to you right now. Is I love the fact that last couple of years ago I saw you in the Final Four, and neither one of you kind of looked at each other. Little bit of a
But this don't mean that I don't give big respect to him. You know,
and he said the same thing to me.
So
about
this
you.
Is how it is. He knows the story, and I know the story. So it's enough. It's not necessary to.
But I love to see that.
I think that's great.
That shows your character. That shows his
character. Exactly.
It's something. But how difficult, when you left Panathinaikos, I don't want to ask you how difficult it was, because I know it had to be difficult. It was 13 years of your life. But why was the decision made?
No, the decision, it was very, it was very, time? Very difficult, because, you know, in this period happened something. And I always said that the good things, everybody understands. Bad things, we need to be in the family. We don't, you know, and this, it was the main thing. I everybody understand, people over there, everybody understand why I move and I go out. And I believe that it was a good decision. You know, I will always say that I wish to Panathinaikos all the best all the life, and I will do it like this. And people probably don't understand, however, and how many times I repeat, how tough it's for me to play against Panathinaikos.
Right.
Nobody understand what happened with me, you know, if I go, especially in Raqqa. It's very tough. But, however, I'm coach of, you know, Fenerbahce.
It wasn't
I go with my players, and first year especially, you know, that I go back over there, it was not tough. It was out of everything.
It wasn't tough 2 years ago when you beat them both games in the playoff. But
yes, okay, but, you know, with years everything is a little bit different, but I still thinking about this, you know. If you ask me, I will never like to play against Panathinaikos any crucial game, like playoff or something like that, or Final Four. Of course that I wish to them to be in Final Four and everything, but, you know, it's tough.
You had the year with no coaching, There's NBA rumors all over the place. You just mentioned before that Joe Douma, you know, a lot of people in the NBA. Greg Popovich talks, you know, crazy about you. He loves you. Was there any chance? Was there ever a chance?
No, no, no. Honestly, I was like almost 40 days together with Dimitris in organization of Detroit. This helped me. I was all the day with Joe Dumars, all. Mm-hmm. And he's a big friend of mine, really. And, you know, we share all the things. He said to me from first day, hey, I want to listen to you talk. I say, yes, same. I want from you.
Right.
So let's talk. So we discuss about everything. Great experience. Never we talk anything like possibility even to go over there, you know. And it was only, yes, in this moment I said, okay, I believe that I'm ready for that also. You know, it's different, but of course I'm not a stupid guy to don't understand how different is over there and what I need to do. You know what I mean? Basketball is
basketball. I can't imagine like, yell at LeBron James like
course,
you.
No, of course not. But, you know, the joke have one sentence that is very, basketball is universal.
Right.
So, you know, wherever you go, basketball is basketball.
Just,
so you need relationship, of course. I mean, but I'm happy with my life and I'm happy that after that, you know, I decide 1 year I have for my friends, for my family, for my son. And after that, you know, coming this the time right now.
To me now, we're almost finishing up here a little bit, but I want to get into Fenerbahce because I think this is the best job you've done. Not as a coach as much as what you've done with the team. You've developed a winning culture. You didn't just go in and win. But you had to go through the steps. And you mentioned this a long time ago, you know, with Bogdanovic when he was there. And you guys lost in Madrid. And, and to you know, you said this is, of course, that's a lot easier.
But it's a lot easier
when you already have seven championships to your
name. Yeah, of course. Yes,
it's easy for you to say that. But you've developed this. You have a base of players. You have Slukas, Datome, Kalinic. You have all these guys. So it's so much easier, I think, for you to bring the other people in and, like, the – they have to feed into the system that you've built. And I think that's the best job that you've done
so far. Yeah, you need to go back first year, you know, that we start excellent EuroLeague and first part we play very good. After that, in top 16, it was different. So the thing is that in the club, there was patient with this. They understand that we work very hard and it was necessary to make some kind of changes. Second year, they listening to me and I said, if you want next step, I need to be more in the court to don't think about all the things. Because first year it was very tough for me. So they understand that we need one general manager and we bring Maurizio Girardini. For me, it was the best step.
He's my next question.
Yeah, because Maurizio, he worked all the things. That first year it was also part of my job.
Right.
And after that I started just to care about team and court, you know. And over there we start. So, as you say, step by step, you go first time to... We coming over here to Madrid, to play Real Madrid. Of course, people, you know, it was very enthusiastic and they don't understand. Say, guys, we play Real Madrid. Hey, this is first step for us. Disappointed. You know, that was excellent team and everything. So, and after that, we coming, you know, four Final Four in a row and we played three final games with title, with all things that they happened. But I'm very happy because people recognize that Fenerbahce right now is between the best team in Europe without and best organization. So,
and I think that's what I'm saying. You built that culture.
Yes.
You built the whole day. It's not, you know, there's a lot of good teams in Turkey. You had Darüşşafaka a couple years ago. You had Efes.
Yeah,
but they're always on this roller coaster ride. 1 year good, 1 year bad.
Yeah.
You've built a winning culture, which I think is, to me, again, I go back to saying this, it's your best job as a coach because of what you're going to, what you'll end up leaving behind also if you ever leave here. I don't know if you'll ever leave.
No, this means that we are very serious, you know, that everybody, because if you want to be a serious organization, you need to be everybody on the same page. And we have this with the ex-president and now President Ali coach and everybody, you know, we are on the same page and we work. We talk about this, that one club and team need to be healthy inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we are healthy inside. Of course that we have during the season problems. Of course you know
everybody.
That not everything is perfect and everything. But, you know, we react in the time. And as you said, we have nucleus of the players that there are a lot of years over here. So it's more easy for them and for me. Because believe me, sometimes in the game, if I call timeout, or even if I don't call timeout, I say to them something that set place, let's say that we don't use months. And I say, hey, Costa, this.
And then,
you know, so this helps a lot.
Right.
Or defensive.
Right.
Defensive things.
You don't have to think as much either during the game because, you know, just two words and you can get it out.
No, but it's very important. So, you know, in the beginning of the season, let's say the two new players, that it was Ennis Taylor and and Laverne, Joe, mm-hmm. many times if I need to do something like that, I take them out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for
you
them
have
it
to
was.
Explain to them.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And okay, you know, reaction and everything, it was like that. But however, very proud, and I hope that we'll have possibility to continue in the same way.
Building that you lost in the top, you got kicked out of the top 16 your first year. You mm-hmm. came up fourth one year, runner up another year with an mm-hmm. Incredible game against Cska. Mm-hmm. What was it like to finally win it for? Because you have like seven at this point or mm-hmm. eight at this point.
Right.
It had to be very special for you to win it for those players because of what they've gone through. They've gone through all that, mm-hmm. as you called it, the suffering.
Yes.
To finally get there.
Yes, you know, it was. During this season, we suffer a lot because a lot of players, they have serious injury. And the more important part of EuroLeague, the last two games in regular season and playoff, everybody was over there. So we start to work very good.
Right.
And it was obvious after that watching our game how much better we play. And we go with so big confidence to play against Panathinaikos and after that all Final Four, if you remember,
right.
Real Madrid and after that Olympiakos. And you know, you play in country that never any team come to that point. And believe me, Joe, I passed in my life, you know, lot of situation, lot of celebration. Especially, let's say, the way how they celebrate in Greece. Also with in my country, but it was special, everything special. But after this Final Four, they bring me videos with some kids in the main cities in Turkey because they put the big screen
right,
and they watch over there and the people, old people, young people crying
right.
and it was big impact.
Right, of course.
And people start to talk about basketball and now, believe me, basketball is very, very important in Turkey, like country.
Right.
So we bring this to Turkey, you know. Of course, that over there, as you said, lot of last years they put the money.
Right.
Darüşşafaka, Efes, Galatasaray, Beşiktaş, you know, Karşıyaka. But this, it was something very, very important for all the people that they like basketball.
Yeah,
because, you know, I say they asked me 22 titles with Panathinaikos. I say yes. The more important, and I talked with Albertis about this, we create new generation of fans.
Exactly.
And this is what happened now with Fenerbahce.
Yeah.
You know, average of the people in EuroLeague before that I came over there, it was 2,500. Now we are more than 11. You understand? So this is also victory.
Yeah, but also if you win, people come,
okay,
of course, but
somehow,
you have to develop
somehow
that.
Somehow they trust us.
Right.
You know, they trust.
Right.
This is from the beginning of the season. Everybody talk about new Final Four. Say,
yeah,
hey, come on, relax, guys. I mean, you know, this is how it is. Plus, you know, that especially personally make me very happy that almost every year we have some players that go to NBA and
right.
they are over there very important. Bogdan
right.
is very important. Bielica before, Bojan Bogdanović, you know, Ep decide to go over there,
yeah.
Wanamaker. Fortunately, they don't play so many minutes, but
right.
they like. I understand American players, they always like to be part of NBA. So, you know, we
but you get these guys to buy into your system somehow. You know, Jason Thompson last year.
Yeah, Jason Thompson, yes. Jason
they
Thompson
just buy into your
believe
system.
Believe me, I talked to Jason. Jason, it was in before that we signed him. He played in China and say,
right.
hey, believe or not, I don't watch any game that you play over there.
Right.
I watched previous year in NBA. So, you know, what to what? He was excellent, excellent guy, excellent guy.
The last thing I want to ask is a little bit of a tough question, and then we got a couple of fun ones. And I want you to answer me as honestly as you possibly can. How difficult was it to lose that game last year to Madrid in Serbia? It was going to be your 10th title in your home country. Was it?
Yes.
I was commentating the game, obviously watching,
yes.
and I had to be thinking of how difficult that was for you because I'm sure you were thinking about how great it would be to win.
Yeah,
this
you know, first of all, before every game, I try to give a lot of confidence to my players.
Mm-hmm.
This is first thing, you know this.
Right.
This is very important. People talk a lot about this, that, you know, is in Belgrade. For me, it was very important to be in Belgrade, and I spent over there 5 days, you know, with friends and everything. But I try to somehow to calm everybody in my club, in my team. I said, what is different that this year in Belgrade and 2 years ago it was in Berlin or in Istanbul or next year, I don't know where it will be. If we win now, next year we'll say, okay, it's not important. No, of course, you forget and you go on.
Of course.
This it was in my mind, believe me, honestly. Of course that, you know, you think, okay, special place, Belgrade, Belgrade, but it's not so important. Believe me, at the end of the day...
Tell me the truth.
No, no, honestly, honestly. I told you the truth. Because after this, I have one bar restaurant very close to my house in Belgrade. And my friends, everybody, they wait for me over there. Mm. And like 3 o'clock, I call one very close friend from Turkey. I ask him, where are you? He said, I'm in a room, almost ready to sleep. I say, no, come over here. So we're coming and we spend until morning. Mm. Everybody let's go, and I spend the time with him because he's a very close friend. And, you know, I even don't think and don't talk about the game.
Right. No, you hardly ever do this after the game.
This is finished. This is the end. If you go and I don't like young coach, I always explain this. Finish the game, I go directly to my house and to watch the game. And I was like crazy. Now, this is not the way.
Yeah.
Because you need to prepare yourself for next game. First of all, we have game almost every 2-3 days.
But of course,
you don't have time.
You have time, though, yeah. That was one of the things I liked most about you as a coach was in between the four lines, you were very intense and you were
the basketball exactly.
But once we were like on a trip, on the bus, as a team together, you never talked about
only
basketball.
Way. Only way.
All right, let's finish up with some good stuff. Married, 2 kids.
Yes.
How many years have you been married now? It's been forever almost.
I am a little, let me, so
know.
84 now is 30, this year will be 35.
Orden
for me and for her.
Your son plays. Your son is a player.
No, my son likes basketball. My son is very smart. He understands basketball. Believe or not, if I need to talk with people about, let's say, some players that I'm interested or my club, of course, Maurizio, and then the second one is Giorgi, my son.
Oh, yeah?
He knows everything.
He knows everything.
He knows everything.
How old is he now?
Now he's 20. Some days ago, it was his birthday, 27th of February.
And of course, your birthday is coming up here in 2
yeah,
days.
Yeah, okay, but this is not too cold.
With your daughter's birthday. Now, yeah. We all count that. Yeah. We know how old it is. You and your daughter, you guys share a birthday.
Yeah.
That's extremely special. You guys have a great life. I see every year, no matter where you are, she shows up, which she'll be here in Madrid.
Yeah.
Coming here soon. And
2 years ago, we was together. She came to Kaunas, and after the game we go together with Sharunas, and
you ruined my whole thing, man. As I
talked
to her,
yeah, she will be now. We go together to Istanbul to celebrate.
Tell me what did Sharunas do that night? I heard that he put on a song from when you guys won the Yugoslavia, when you won the Euro title, I think it was.
Yeah, okay, some song that we like together, you know. But
Greece.
Okay, this, you know, we try to be together because special day for me and for her. Now, more important for her because, you know, with the age that I have, it's not so much to celebrate.
You never know where she is. One day she's in Turkey, she's in Cuba, she's jumping out of a plane.
Okay, this is her life, and I'm very happy because she enjoyed the life very much. She's very serious in job, but out of the job is same like me.
Mm-hmm.
Same like me. So
she's
job
incredible.
Is job, but out of the job, she like to, you know,
to
enjoy the life.
Great people share your birthday because my mom was born on your birthday also.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
One thing I laughed about Anja, your daughter, was when you won the 9th title in Istanbul, we were on the bus together after the game, and she says to me, she says, shit. She says, now I have to learn another language. She's like, I promise to learn another language every time my dad wins a title.
Yes.
So she speaks 8 languages?
She speaks a lot of.
It should exactly,
be 9 I don't
by
know.
Now.
I know that she talks, let's say, more difficult Turkey and Greek language. Okay, English, Spanish, Catalan, Italian, French, I don't know. I believe that she wanted also to learn Russian, if I remember. It's difficult. It's difficult to, you know, but she have talent for that.
What's the coaching philosophies that you use in your everyday life?
Never be satisfied. Never be, never think that you know everything. Try to learn. Wake up and believe me, Joe, I know how I was, let's say, 27 years ago and how I am now. And I believe in front of me is a lot of things to improve. Honestly, I believe this. I go, you know, I go to room and I think about all small details. I believe that my players understand this. I believe that they understand how big passion I have for this, my job and what I try to do, you know, to help them. And of course, sometimes, you know, result is different, but this is that I want from them.
The things that people don't know about you are, like I mentioned before, the meeting we had with the president of Real Madrid, where you stood up for the team in front of the whole team. There was a story also that I heard, and I don't know if it's true or not. You can confirm it. Your birthday a couple of years ago, when the year you won the title, you guys lost to Baskonia by 20 at home.
Yes.
And you had a birthday party set up, and you still went in and invited everybody to the birthday party.
Exactly. See, we go to a place that I like, and also players, it's a very nice place. And after the game, I say, guys, let's go, because game is game. It's not the problem. This year exactly that we win the European title. And also last year happened one thing, that we lost a quarterfinal cup game against Efes. Also last position, things like that. And okay, everybody thinking, how will be my reaction, that I will be angry and everything. I leave to them 2.5 days off. And I say after that, a Wednesday or Thursday, and remember, say Saturday night in one also very good restaurant, I invite all the club, all them with girlfriends, wives, friends to one dinner. Because we have life.
Right.
Life, and this is that I like. So, people look at me in the game and Obradovic is angry, but after that, it's finished.
Right.
You need to have another target in your life.
It's just the way you win players.
Yeah.
It's the way you're able to win players. Is there a player that you look back on throughout your career and you say, I wish I could have done more with him. I wish he would have responded to my way of coaching. I think he could have been a better player.
Every day you have the players, and I always start with myself. And I believe that, of course every player have limit, but I try to understand what is wrong that one player, let's say, is not that level that everybody of us, we believe that must be. So I started myself, and I go, tell me what to do. Just tell me, explain me really what you want for me, and I'm ready to listen to you. I believe this. Maybe you have different opinions, so let's discuss. And every time that some players, but basically, Joe, after so many years, motivation, concentration, this is the more important than
everything. The two most important
things. Motivated person don't have limit.
Mm-hmm.
You have motivation. You leave something, you will go and you will try to do whatever. Right. It looks like, of course, very easy. But if you are,
I put the word passion in also.
Yeah, of
passion
course.
Goes
passion,
also.
Of course. This is the more important
thing. If you're passionate about anything, you can do it.
Exactly. So for me, never will be a problem if I see one player that react like that. Even, I have some players that, players, they like to watch statistics. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
And some of them, they don't want to take some shots just because to shot, let's say, 70% for two or 50,
right.
60 for two. And I say, but sorry, you're alone. Shot the fucking ball because you don't have another opportunity.
Right.
And don't think that every ball will go inside.
Of course.
It's impossible. Who shot the ball? Watch the best players in NBA.
Yeah,
and watch their percentage.
That's what I tell kids all the time.
I push them, believe me, to be more aggressive, especially offensively.
Where do you find the ability to go, call a timeout, go absolutely crazy, have that purple face going, that everybody with the tie all the way up here on your neck, and then have the composure to sit down for 20 seconds and write up a play that always seems to work?
But this is something inside of me. I don't know.
You don't know where it came from?
No. If sometimes I watch myself, because you need to understand the way how your team play, and you go, and sometimes basically, I don't like to watch myself, but if sometimes happen, and if I watch, I'm also surprised with my reaction. But what to do? This is momentum, This is that you try to wake
adrenaline,
up the team.
Adrenaline. But exactly. I mean, sometimes I know you've done it on purpose also. Sometimes you do it to get something out of a player.
This is always message to players.
Right.
This is message to the rest of the team, not just the player that I talk to him.
Right.
I need to do this. That this is part of the job. Because, if let's say we play, I believe that it was semifinal of Cup this year, quarterfinal. And we're coming 24 points before start last quarter. And I push some players because you think about next game, And I said, first defense we play this, okay. So they dunk the ball. Time the ball immediately. I call timeout immediately after 15 seconds. 22 points for us. And they're coming and they attack them. How is possible? How is possible after 10 seconds that you don't have concentration? What it was defense? This. What are you doing? Sorry, coach. Not sorry, coach. Not sorry, coach.
Not sorry.
It's impossible to be sorry. You understand? So, and this it was message for everybody. And after that, I need to put again starters, let's say,
well,
that they're out of the mind because for them game was finished. So how to feel? You understand? This is the point.
What's the difference between players 20 years ago from now and today?
You're able to push big players more. Big players, they're always the same. In this period or now, you know, who is this that we talk? Who have motivation? Who is hungry? Who is dedicated time to basketball? The same like now. This is the way. I always talk, you know, about big guys, and I mention all of you. All of you, what mean, let's say, killer like you? Mm. I mention always to all the players. Hey, go, Nicolo Melli. Mm. Nicolo Melli have a lot of quality. Nicolo Melli is problem to explain to him. First thing that you need to do after that you catch the ball is to watch the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Not to watch to pass the ball.
Yeah.
Watch the basket. And Nico start to do this, and I'm very happy. You know, like some players, you need to explain to them to share the ball is excellent.
Right.
You know, but I always mention, you remember Kurti. Kurti take the ball in the half court, first that he stop and he watch the basket.
He's at the basket, yeah.
I never see in my life, and I always mention, this is good example. Like you know, we talk about defensive part. Foul mm-hmm. is big arm for smart player.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So you watch the game, and two fouls to give, last position, no foul.
But those are the little details.
Yeah,
that you
of course.
Always
this is the make the difference.
Who's the one coach you don't like to coach against?
Who is
the one coach that you do not like to when you see on the other sideline? Oh, I got to coach against him today. He knows me too well.
No. I never think like that. You know, I never take this something like personal. You know, because this is always between the clubs, between the teams. You know, whatever we have different players. There are a lot of colleagues that I respect very much. Not a lot of everybody I respect very much. Believe me, I prepare the game, let's say final game in EuroLeague, same way I prepare if I play one game in preseason with my team. Friendly game. For me, same. Really. I respect everybody and I try to understand what, let's say, will be that opponent coach will try to surprise me. You need to know this.
You need to be prepared
for
that ahead of time.
Of course.
If anybody could say anything negative about you, it's that you've always had a big budget. And I've heard people say this. You've already had the big budget on the team, so forth. You know, you've always had the big players and so on and so on. What do you say to that as far as, because, you know, you still have to coach these players and you still have to win games. And you've won 9 titles, but you've lost a lot also. But people always tend to say that. People tend to say, well, you know, Selko's great, but he's got all the great players. He's always had the great players.
Joe, I'm 59 years old. I know that there will always be people that they will talk one way or another way. Jealous people that never stay in this position to understand some things. So I don't think so that I need to answer to no one. I'm extremely happy person doing my job, and I will continue to do this. Whoever have different opinion, this is their opinion, and I'm okay with this. For me, if you ask me, the more important opinion is my family and my close friend, people that I trust to them. Whoever come and say, oh, Coach Obradovic, you are the best. Thank you very much, but I don't care about this.
Right.
Or he say, you are the worst. I don't care about this. I have people that I trust. And the opinion of these people is important for me. And people who knows me, really, who knows me, and who knows better me than my players.
Mm-hmm.
That they work for me and that we spend a lot of hours.
Every day, yeah.
And this is the reason also that even now, that is tough season and everything, if I have possibility to give to them 1 or 2 days off, I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to don't see each other.
Yeah. Take a break.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Of course.
I want to finish by saying thank you. Thank you, first of all, for being here with me. Second of all, for me being here with you, because, you know, you go through life and your life is determined by your parents, of course, your friends, your experiences and everything else. But along the way, there's always people that show you different things, and you showed me a lot.
Thank you very much, Joe.
You gave me my European title. You gave me my 63-point game. You were part of my best games. You were part of my worst games. But, you know, I've always felt like our friendship was sealed after You know,
exactly. It's more important thing.
And I always feel like that I'm indebted to you for everything that I have after my basketball career. So much I learned from you. And I just want to thank you for being here, Coach.
Thank
I
you,
really
Joe. For my pleasure always. You
and
know
I hope number 10 is in the future.
And I hope that see you this that you like me, same.
Good man. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.